Noah said you done lost your track. You can't plow straight and keep a looking back. That was a fun line to sing in that song that the choir just did. And I don't think it's true. I don't think Noah ever said that, did he? But I don't care. I should say it's not factual. It probably is true. Noah learned some things in his life. And one of the things that's great about the spirituals, American spirituals, is that they take just little pieces of wisdom and they sing them into these wonderful truths. You done lost your track. You can't plow straight and keep a looking back. I thought of that as I listened to the words in this story and sort of lived with this story all week long. The walk to Emmaus, it's often called. The road to Emmaus. And I could almost hear Jesus saying to these two characters, you done lost your track. You done lost your track. They stand still. They're like, it's just a wonderful image here. And they're saying to Jesus, are you the only stranger who doesn't know what's going on? I mean, the irony of that, of these two who really don't know what's going on, saying to Jesus, are you the only one who's clueless? Because it seems to me what they're doing as they walk along, they're looking back. You done lost your track. You can't plow straight. You can't journey straight if you're looking back. Is that true? Yeah. There's an element of truth to it. Right? It's like when you're on a journey, how much time do you spend in the rearview mirror? It's good to look back, right? It's good to have a rear view, but you don't drive that way. I hope you don't. I hope you're not driving that way. Is anybody driving like this? Okay. Only James Bond, right, in a crunch. He's got to sit down on the seat and use the rearview mirror to drive. I don't know. But it's not recommended, right? It's good to look back. It's good to review where we've been. I think about this journey and what we've done, you know, the last several weeks. There's been an element of looking back, right? Where have we been this year? We've looked back 50 years, actually, right? We celebrated 50 years. And where were we 50 years ago? And what was our original vision? We got to talk to our founding pastor and hear sort of his tale and his story of what they were thinking back then. So looking back, there's some fruit to be harvested in the look back. But it's not a good way to travel. Like this. Ooh. Danger. It's helpful to look back, to review, to remember, right? We talk about that a lot, the road through this table. The Emmaus road ends up at a table. We'll get to that later. But one of the things we do at the table is we remember, right? One of the most important words in our faith. So we are people with stories and with history, and it's important for us to look back. But we do that as we walk forward. That's the image I have of this road to Emmaus, is that it is a walk, and it is a journey, and it moves us in a direction in the story. I looked at it, and I started playing with some words, as I like to do, and you'll recognize the structure of this, what I've written. I've borrowed from Ecclesiastes 3. Do you know Ecclesiastes 3? To everything there is a season and a purpose to everything under the sun. A time to die and a time to be born. A time to hate and a time to love. So I just went through this story, and I just was thinking about, drawn by the sort of richness of what's in the Emmaus story. So I first of all want you to listen. You just heard Aaron read the Emmaus story. These two disciples on the road, they don't recognize Jesus. They strike up a conversation and they travel for a while. And then he finally enlightens them about the scriptures. They still don't know who he is yet. So there's a time to stay put and a time to go. There's a time to talk and a time to ponder. There's a time to walk and a time to stand still. Remember the story. They stood still, just kind of shaking their heads. There's a time to come near and there's a time to stay afar. There's a time to tell and a time to ask. There's a time to answer and a time to bewilder in the question. There's a time to look back. There's a time to look forward. There's a time to remember. There's a time to project. There's a time to hope and a time to despair. There's a time to visit the tomb. There's a time to be at table. There's a time to see him. There's a time to not quite see him. There's a time of slow hearts wallowing in absence. There's a time of burning hearts relishing presence. There's a time to read scripture. There's a time to interpret events. I got most of those images and words just by reading those 10 verses or so of that Emmaus story. All the things that happen sort of cast in those sort of either or ways of being. I'm going to read these again, but instead of thinking about the Emmaus story, I want you to think about our story. This is Covenant Christian Church's story, okay? If you want to think about the last year, you can. If you want to think about the last 50 years, you might do that. If you want to think about last year versus next year, you know, what we did last year, what we might do next year. Think about those as I sort of offer you this same framework to think about. There's a time to stay put. There's a time to go. A time to talk. A time to ponder. A time to walk. A time to stand still. There's a time to come near. There's a time to stay afar. There's a time to tell. A time to ask. A time to answer. A time to bewilder in the question. A time to look back. A time to look forward. A time to remember. A time to project. A time to hope. A time to despair. A time to visit the tomb. A time to be at table. A time to see him. A time to not quite see him. A time of slow hearts wallowing in absence. A time of burning hearts relishing presence. A time to read scripture. A time to interpret events. Both times I read this, I got to a time to remember, and I thought, well, what's the opposite of remember? Forget. What did I say? Do you remember? Do you remember? Opposite that, I have a time to project. Because I was thinking, you know, the remembering is looking back, and I did it after, you know, there's a time to look back, there's a time to look forward, there's a time to remember what was, there's a time to project what will be. I was thinking about what we're doing, you know, what the board will do next Sunday. We're going to take, you know, all these pledge forms. We're going to look at a dollar figure. We're going to look at our budget. We'll probably do a couple of things. We'll see, well, what did we give last year? What can we expect? What can we project giving will be next year? How did we spend our money last year? We've done that. Some of you have done that in your journey teams. Well, we didn't need money here, but we did need money here. You know, so there's holes in our budget or there's a surplus here, so we might move money around. What will we project, right? So this is an interesting time of year for the church. I find it interesting. I'm a church geek. Time to look back, Celebrate some things that we did this year. Do that with me right now. Tell me some things that you celebrate about the year 2015 in this church. Things that we did together, things that were interesting, life-giving for you. Yeah. The weekend of the 50th anniversary celebration. I enjoyed meeting Don Manwaring. I've heard his name for many years, and now I have a face and a family, actually. I got to have dinner with his family. That was nice. What else? Building a labyrinth at the conference center. Thank you. That's a good one. A small group of us went out there and dug holes, put bricks around. Yeah. Bike night. I have good memories of bike nights. You know, again, a small group, a handful of us out on the bike trails. Maybe we'll stop and enjoy a poem. Tom usually brought food. Judith brought carrots. Some people call that food. What else? Yeah, various gatherings for fellowship, whether it's bike night or Friday fellowship or a trunk or treat or a gathering, an Easter egg hunt, lots of kids, lots of people around, large group fellowships.
Even the things
All right.
So I'm sure that we're not the only ones that congregated with one another outside of these four walls.
Exactly. So times to be together, care for one another. I wasn't involved in the health fair, but Jeff was, and several of you were involved in opening our doors and having people come in and checking their medication and blood pressure and basic things like that. That was a nice way to engage the community. Friday fellowship. Out to lunch, more fellowship. Yeah. Yeah. I thought of that this morning. It just occurred to me, you know, I was in a room downstairs with, I don't know, six or seven people. We were in conversation about faith and in our lives and daily life. You know, we call it Sunday school, right? And meanwhile, some people were gathering in the fellowship hall. There was stuff going on in the kitchen. People were setting up tables, getting ready for potluck. And then there was a group of people that gathered up here and practiced a song so they could do choir, you know. And some people did several of those things. That's how it works around here. We're a small enough group that the person who set up a fellowship might also come up and sing in the choir, and the person that does Sunday school might also come up and sing in the choir, and the person that, you know. But there's just a lot of little things, right, that get done by a lot of people. So, yeah, the roof and the parking lot. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, constant sort of, what was the word you used? Yeah, doing outreach. Exactly. The other thing that occurred to me, I was working with the Emmaus story, is just remembering a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the Good Samaritan. Because it occurs to me that what we're always talking about the journey around here, and there are a lot of biblical stories about journeys. So, and I don't think that's by accident. Why is the theme of travel so important to us? It's such a powerful image and metaphor for people of faith that we're not stagnant and planted in one place, but that we're moving, we're going somewhere. And it occurred to me to look at the Emmaus story, the road to Emmaus and the road to Jericho, and how different they are, or how similar they are. You know, what happens on the road to Jericho is somebody falls among thieves, is robbed, beaten, left for dead. There are people who travel the road to Jericho. There are religious people that travel the road to Jericho. And they basically turn a blind eye and walk the other way. And then there's a Samaritan, a biblically unclean person that the Jews were in despise of. This person stops and ministers to the wounded, right? And somehow in telling that story, it's not a story about Jesus. It's a story told by Jesus. It's about us and how we are to be. How are we to be on the road to Jericho? Are we to be like the religious people who don't set a very good example? They never do. Or are we to be like someone else who shows compassion? And then I look at the road to Emmaus, a very different road, traveled by a pair. Maybe it's a husband and wife. They've been in Jerusalem. It says on that same day. It's a story that starts on that same day. It's always a good idea to look back and see, well, what is that same day? Anybody know what day this is? Yeah, the day he rose. It's Easter Sunday. On that same day, probably towards evening, they're going home to Emmaus, a short distance from Jerusalem where all this happened. And they're on the road, and they meet Jesus. But they don't recognize him. Their eyes were kept from knowing that it was Jesus. And the thing about reading a story like this, I caution people, a lot of times we like to wonder about the mechanics. Why didn't they recognize him? You know, did resurrection change him? Blah, blah, blah. Were there scales on their eyes? I don't know. I would rather wonder about the meaning of the story than the mechanics, right? These stories are really powerful for us because they're so full of meaning. What does it mean that they walked with Jesus and didn't know it? What does it mean when we walk with Jesus and we don't know it? How are our eyes kept from knowing him? Right? Think about all the things you just told me about what we did this year, and I wonder, was Jesus the one who walked beside us? That opening hymn kind of sings about the one who walks beside us. Was he there at the health fair, at fellowship, when you were breaking bread together? Was he there in the outreach that we do? I wonder. Yeah. I wonder. These are the things that I think that help us on the journey on. To wonder about walking with Christ and having Christ walk with us.